Hundreds of thousands of tourists are traveling to all parts of the country to view the total solar eclipse on Monday, when the moon will completely obscure the sun for 3 minutes. That will bring back cherished memories for one retired science teacher in northern New York. He saw a total eclipse more than 50 years ago and says it is the memory of a lifetime. Monica Sandreski from member station North Country Public Radio has more.
In high school, Andy Sager wasn't exactly, in his words, a socially active kid. He and his good buddy Dennis Cassio were self-described astronomy nerds. They even built their own aluminum-domed observatory in the backyard of Cassio's Westchester County home. And in the fall of 1969, they hit big. A total solar eclipse was going to cross the eastern seaboard the following spring. We gotta go see it, they thought.
I have to give 100% credit to Dennis. He's the one who's like, oh yeah, we could do this.
Sager pinpointed their destination. Cassia inventoried their telescopes, sun filters, and cameras.
I think our film of choice was ektachrome on the telescopes and Kodachrome for just the cameras in plain use.
Then in early March 1970, Sager, Cassia, a few other buddies, their physics teacher, Dr. Nelson, and their folks trekked 600 miles from Westchester County to Kinston, North Carolina.
And my dad, thank God, he had that little cheap cassette recorder.
Not one more minute.
So it's kind of distorted, but this is the original audio that Lad Sager, Andy's dad, recorded as he talked to physics teacher Dr. Robert Nelson. It was March 7th, 1970.
Thank you. And you're down here on this beautiful day in Kinston, North Carolina. Do you think you'll have a successful event?
Well, see how it could possibly go wrong.
It was a sunny, late winter day in an open field on the campus of Lenoir Community College.
There had to be probably 100 people scattered around. Some of them set up with telescopes, but a lot of them just hanging out there and kind of looking to us. We were probably the most complete, quote, science team there.
Sager's dad interviewed everyone in their cohort that day in the style of an old-timey news anchor, including Cassia's mom, Viola.
Very good. Very good. Thank you. Do you have anyone else with you?
Oh, yes. We're a group of 10 people.
10 people. That's wonderful. Right. And who is your associate over here on your right?
That's my son, Dennis.
Dennis, let's go over and talk to him.
All right.
Dennis, what kind of equipment do you have here?
Well, we have a 6-inch reflector, and right here is a sheet which I'm going to take pictures of shadow bands.
Pictures of shadow bands. What are shadow bands?
Shadow bands, he's saying. Those are wavy lines of light that make surfaces look like they're undulating before and after an eclipse.
Your name, sir?
Andy Sager.
And where are you from?
Pleasantville, New York.
And where is Pleasantville, New York?
It was more than 50 years ago, but Sager's memories are vivid.
I had set up a 6-inch Newtonian telescope with an equatorial mount, and it had an electric clock drive. Running up to the actual start, it was checking everything, rechecking everything, and being so involved in that, you weren't paying attention to anything else except the equipment that you were going to be responsible for.
Also, we're shooting 15 millimeters black and white to possibly make a movie for future use in my high school physics class.
Then as it started getting closer, you could hear the crowd start to get quieter and quieter. Then the gasps started coming.
Here come the shadow bands. Where?
Look at them.
Where? Yes, look at it.
And it looked as if the ground was undulating towards us, like it was rolling. It was an optical illusion, like an earthquake roll.
Bring the camera, Andy. Oh, yes, yes, I see one. All right. Hey, look at the horizon. Quick, look at the horizon.
Having totality hit was such a shock because the temperature dropped. It felt like 20 degrees. Everything went black. The animals, birds stopped singing, and all this other noise around, that quieted right down to nothing. But the roar of the people.
There's the Venus to the left.
They went to work shooting on infrared black and white and infrared color film. They timed their photos, varying their exposures and shutter speeds between them.
Next one I'm going to do will be 20 seconds, twice as long.
101, 102, 103.
This is Sager's dad shooting on one of those old-fashioned 1920s plate cameras he brought for fun.
Two down.
They captured complete shots of sunlight passing through gaps in the moon's rugged terrain known as Bailey's beads, and also the faint corona of the sun starting to peek out at the end.
Hey, yes, look at the red spot at the bottom. Look at the... Yeah, look out. Here comes the sun. Don't look. Don't look. Andy, don't look.
And it was over. That was it.
600 miles.
It's funny because I heard my dad say 600 miles for 90 seconds or something like that.
All that just for that. With that purple flash. Did you see that purple as it came out from the ground? Oh, wonderful.
They packed up their telescopes, filters, and cameras and hit the road home, wringing their hands over how their photos would develop. They didn't need to worry, though. Their photos turned out great.
Seeing one is really awe-inspiring. You'll never forget it. To me, it's on a par with when I went to Antarctica. It was a par of being in the bottom of the Grand Canyon. It's right up there.
Now, 54 years later, Sager and Cassie are hoping to reunite on April 8th. For Sager, experiencing totality is one of our peak moments of being human on Earth. For NPR News, I'm Monica Sandreski in Northern New York.